C1OB. Number 3A.
We come to the third subject of soul. And we just always want to state the case, what we are actually doing, so that our thought is directed in the right line. We have seen that there are five subjects, seven subjects. Did I say it right? The heat is a bit too much already. Well, that we have seven subjects, seven objections against the practicability, the practicality of Christian Science. Therefore, we are asking what is within us that opposes really the demonstration. On the mind, we have seen that it needs those divine mind qualities of intelligence, of proper investigation, of logical reasoning, and therefore that we don't listen just on human opinions, on conjectures, on superficial reasoning, on the human mind and the human mind opinions and things like that. On the spirit, we have seen that that which can hinder demonstration is a lack of seeing the purity of spirit, the onlyness of spirit, and therefore the lack of always making a clear distinction between the real and the unreal. Mostly, therefore, between man as the idea of God and, on the other hand, the Adamic race, so that we don't mix up under the term man, the ideal man, and poor humanity. Now, when we come to soul, we more or less can know what she will have to tell us, namely that which does prevent the demonstrability of Christian Science is the lack of spiritual sense and spiritual understanding. That's how the epitome reads here. Without spiritual sense, the demonstrability of Christian Science cannot be perceived. Therefore, we have to be very clear that if we judge any fruits or any proofs of any kind in the metaphysical realm, that we really are not fooled just by the objective fruits, but that we are always asking what is behind it. We have to rely on a spiritual sense and on spiritual understanding to know exactly what is going on. So, how does Mrs. Eddy bring out this sense of soul that defines properly, that testifies properly, of that soul sense that is not fooled, that is not deceived, but is always defining and identifying properly? So here she would speak that the objections against Christian Science come from what? And again, I just run through the text bringing out these objections, and you will see that they are completely different from the two preceding subjects. It's all about testifying wrongly, namely that we should not defend the supposed rights of disease. You see, it's a supposition, it's not something that is clearly defined and identified. They have nothing to do with suppositions. She says that the world cannot immediately witness the fruitage of Christian Science because of that lack of spiritual sense. Again, soul is that which can witness truly. Whereas, if we don't have spiritual sense, we cannot immediately witness rightly. And so we cannot even see the fruits that Christian Science has brought forth. We are blind to them. Even if the fruits of Christian Science are here, and are spiritually apparent. With the material sense of things, we cannot see them. And so we say Christian Science doesn't do the work we are expected to do, either in the world or individually. She says, any human language is inadequate. Here again you have the inadequacy, not the definiteness. It's inadequate because we are dealing with spiritual ideas. This is a terrific point. We are dealing with spiritual ideas, and then students always want to judge it according to the terminology of human language and define it through the human language, and this is not possible. The language of spirit needs soul sense. Further, she would say that we are using material terms when dealing with spiritual ideas. You see, we use material definition, materially defined terms. Soul is that which defines properly, so that when we use material terms, we cannot really bring out the spiritual meaning, the spiritual sense of a proposition. Or she speaks about speaking of the things of spirit while dwelling on a material plane. Again, we cannot name, define, identify, witness properly spiritually as long as we are dwelling on a material plane and therefore go out from a material sense of things. We only too often forget that we try to see that the material senses are satisfied with what they witness, and that we feel that the material senses must be satisfied with what Christian Science brings forth, whereas this is not possible. The things of spirit can only be evaluated on a spiritual plane. Only there they make sense. Or, she says, mortal thought does not at once catch the higher meaning. Again, you have a false witness, a false defining, a false witnessing, that the material thought, the mortal thought, cannot define what's going on on a higher plane of things. These are the great, great obstacles that we usually think that spiritual things can be grasped with material sense and through material witnessing. Because one just says, but the spiritual must be proved in the material, and therefore they should be materially testifiable. Well, they are not. They are always, spiritual things can only be testified spiritually. They can never be testified from a material plane. So it always needs the spiritual sense to see what is actually happening in a healing, in a situation, in a case. Or, she says, it is difficult in a material age to apprehend spiritual truth. Again, you can see that she just says there is no congruity between a material sense of things, between apprehending something materially and apprehending something spiritually. They don't click. There is no congruity between them. Their hearts is waxed gross. The ears are dull of hearing and the eyes are closed. Can you hear? She appeals here to the five physical senses, to the eyes and to the ears, and says, but these material senses are actually closed to the spiritual testimony. They never, never can testify rightly. Yes, these are the references that we get if we read through this third subject. Did you hear that it is a completely different tone again than what we had in the first and in the second subject? It's always important to see that, so that one has a clear distinction between the various subjects, and only through the distinction really you begin to understand better the rhythm and the flow of these ideas, and therefore also the distinguishing characteristics of the seven synonymous terms. So while we had in mind just the dullness of mind, the ignorance and opinion of mind, and in spirit the inability to separate properly, here in the third we have the inability of defining anything rightly and definitely through material sense or on a material basis. That the testimony, the witness, that soul testifies, soul witnesses, soul defines, soul identifies, that this witnessing is wrong. What is the answer? And the answer that Mrs. Eddy gives here are indicating that, therefore, we should really be, her first reference is to be irreverent towards sin, not to accept the testimony of the physical senses, to deny God's cooperation with evil, to deny that there is an identity between God and evil, to eliminate from mortal mind sin, disease, and death. You see, to really eliminate, to disidentify oneself from all that is evil. We get now a sense, really, of getting away from it, of come ye out among them and be separate. To abandon the defense of disease. Again, it's the defense to be irreverent towards disease. Eliminate sin, to give up the defense of disease, to take the opposite view, the opposite view. And therefore, now you get the sense of soul, of superiority, to subordinate material law to spiritual law, to subordinate really the false testimony to the spiritual testimony. Therefore, to gain the spiritual sense of Christian Science in order to grasp its meaning. Now here you get it. The answer is, first, to disidentify oneself with the false testimony, to get away from it, then to subordinate the false testimony to the higher testimony, and then finally, to gain the spiritual sense of Christian Science. Thought is to be educated up to spiritual apprehension, up to spiritual understanding, and to grow into the stature of manhood in Christ Jesus in order to interpret the spiritual meaning. See, can you see how the answer is first to reject really the false testimony, not to have anything to do with it, to see that we are not identifying ourselves with that testimony, then to subordinate the false testimony to the higher testimony, then to see that in order to have the higher testimony, we must gain a spiritual understanding of Christian Science, and in order to gain that spiritual apprehension of Christian Science, we must ourselves identify ourselves with the Spirit to grow into the stature and manhood of Christ Jesus, so that we are the very identity, the very representative of the spiritual meaning. Then, if we have that, then we can really judge rightly. Then we can really measure rightly. Yes. These would be the objections and the answer if we take that third subject in a general way. Now we can ask, how does Mrs. Eddy build up that subject step by step? And we come to our subtones and we consider these now. So the The main epitome, we have said, is without spiritual sense, the demonstrability of Christian Science cannot be perceived. When is that the case? And so we start out with mind and see as mind belief in sickness and the suffering. See, she starts out always when she comes to mind and says, everything that is wrong is actually a belief. Never starts out and says something that is wrong is our basis from which we start out. The basis is always belief. Belief in sickness and the suffering it brings must be eliminated from mortal mind. Instead, that belief is really identified with mortal mind. It must be really disidentified, it must be eliminated from mortal mind. We just have to get rid of it. So the very first step is get rid of the belief in sickness and suffering. Get rid of the belief in the testimony of the bodily senses. She demands to have no faith in any power but God, and therefore to eliminate from mortal mind all which tries to appear as sin, sickness, and death. And therefore, instead of tenaciously defending the supposed rights of disease, can you see, tenaciously defending, that is the opposite of soul. A soul is always tough, is always tenacious, but in the right way, naturally. It's always perseverant and enduring. And so instead of tenaciously defending the rights of disease, we should abandon the defense of disease. So that's the very first step, that we see that the testimony of the physical senses is a belief, and that we should first of all make the step and say, let's get rid of it. When we come to spirit, the epitome reads, the fruits of Christian Science are always evident, even though sickness will be believed for an indefinite time. She says that we already witness really the fruits of Christian Science. We may not have yet demonstrated it to 100%, and so disease may go on for a while, but that is no contrary testimony. That's her point. That does not testify contrary to the facts. She says that the full fruitage of Christian Science is something that the world cannot immediately witness. That sin, disease, and death will be believed for an indefinite time. So she doesn't fool herself and say, well, the world will accept it and that's the end of it. She knows it goes on for quite a while. But she says the present fruits are already visible for those who can see it. So in the point of spirit, she speaks about that the fruits are visible, can be testified, but they can only be testified if you have really spiritual sense. The world cannot really testify it because the world is not quite aware of it, because sin, sickness, and death still are going on, and so they can't really see what's going on underneath the surface. That underneath the surface, she says, the fruits are already evident, and as fruits, she brings forth ethic and temperance have received an impulse, health has been restored, longevity has increased. We know that longevity since her time has increased by 100%. That at her time the average lifespan of men was about 36, 37 years. Today it's nearly 70 years. So within 100 years the average lifespan, longevity, has increased by 100%. And so she asks, if we consider all that, we can ask into the future and say, what will the harvest be? What will the full fruitage be? Now we know spirit is characterized by the fruits of spirit. So here she says we can actually testify to the fruits of Christian Science if we can look at them properly, if we see with the spiritual eyes, with the spiritual consciousness, and not with a worldly consciousness. Then she comes to soul, and soul usually shows us that the higher should rule the lesser. Here, my epitome reads, material law must be subordinated to spiritual law. Subordinate is sense of soul, because soul is supreme. Therefore, the third step usually is that we rise above the material into the spiritual. So Jesus annulled material law by healing contrary to it, contrary, not by identifying himself with it. It's a counterfeit, that's the sense of soul, contrary to it. And therefore, we too should subordinate material law to spiritual law. And only in that way we will really be able to demonstrate the spiritual. Then you come to principle. The moment we come to principle, you always ask either for demonstration or for interpretation. Here, actually, where she has to do a lot with spiritual sense, she must show that spiritual sense must be the true interpreter. The elucidation of Christian Science. If you have a good knowledge of principle, you see at once the elucidation is an idea of principle, meaning the interpretation of principle, lies in the spiritual sense. So here you have soul as principle saying that spiritual sense must be the interpreter, and thought must therefore be educated up to spiritual apprehension. Well, principle is that which teaches and therefore explains and interprets and therefore can educate thought to what? To the point of soul, to spiritual apprehension. You have here a very nice illustration of the interplay of soul as principle. Soul sense, that must be scientific sense. That wedding of spiritual sense with scientific sense. As long as spiritual sense is not wedded to principle and to science, therefore to a scientific sense, as long as that is the case, then spiritual sense is still unreliable. It's still apt that it is governed by the person's individual inspiration, that it's still personal, and therefore has not that scientific touch. How does she explain that? Here it's an interesting passage. She more or less asks, how can divine science be taught? How can it be accurately conveyed to human thought? And she says, there is a chief difficulty, and actually this is the objection, the chief difficulty, the objections. Namely, and she enumerates the difficulties, human language is inadequate to the expression of spiritual conception. Again, that sense of insufficient interpretation. Why? Because one is obliged to use material terms in dealing with spiritual ideas. Again, that discrepancy of material terms and spiritual ideas. And that while dwelling on a material plane, one must apply material terms to explain the things of spirit. That's the difficulty, to use material terms for spiritual things. And mortal thought does not at once catch the higher meaning. Mortal thought, therefore, must be educated up to spiritual apprehension. So she says the elucidation lies in the spiritual sense of Christian Science. And the disciples, you see again the tone of principle, the disciples must gain this spiritual sense in order to gain its meaning, so that they shall speak with new tongues. Can you hear through all through that subtones runs the main question of principle being the interpreter, and that if principle is not the interpreter, there will be the difficulty of spiritual apprehension, because material terms, material language cannot convey the spiritual language. Then he goes on to life, as the subtone of life. My epitome here is that the spiritual is something and the material is nothing. And therefore, this has to be testified. See, the opponents of Christian Science testify like this. We have now again the testimony of the counterfeit of soul, and they testify to not isness, not beingness. They testify to death. They believe that substance to be matter, and that matter as being something. So they testify to a beingness that is material, the somethingness of matter. And they believe the things which pertain to spirit to be next to nothing. See, so they have a false testimony and cannot see what is. The isness of isness, the isness of what is. They say, it is not. So the false testimony is that they say to the things that are, they are not. And they say to the things that are not, they say, it is. Can you hear the tone of life? That it is a misinterpretation of being. Whereas Christian Science, she says, takes exactly the opposite view and understands really that which is spiritual, and that is the substantial. So, this is the subtone of life. We come to the subtone of truth. My epitome here is, only the Christ consciousness can interpret the spiritual meaning of Jesus' work. It shows again what can testify properly, what can really tell us and witness properly. You see, that's the tone of soul. And she says only truth, the Christ truth, can actually interpret properly, can interpret Jesus' works. So she asks, how can one understand the sayings and works of Jesus? And she says, and that's a very interesting answer, by growing into the stature of manhood in Christ Jesus. Can you see, by growing into the stature of manhood, only when one has grown also into some measure of Christ consciousness, that one can really interpret Jesus' words and works properly. You can't do that just by reading the Gospel and see what these works are and then try to interpret it from a human standpoint, from a theological standpoint. One has to have the same, the identical consciousness that Jesus had in order to be able to testify rightly. Only this can interpret the spiritual meaning, she says. Yes.